Hey everyone, and welcome to another deep dive. Today we're heading to the Swedish countryside to look at what helps certain plants do really well in those semi-natural grasslands. Now you might think it's all about how people manage the grasslands, but our expert has some pretty surprising insights from a 2020 study. This was published in the journal Plant Ecology.
Yeah, that's right. This study kind of turns things upside down, about what a lot of us think. When it comes to grassland health, the researchers, they looked at data from over 350 sites across southern Sweden. And what they found suggest that things like the moisture in the soil and the nutrient levels are even more important than how we manage the land, like the grazing practices.
Wow, really? I always thought that like carefully controlling the grazing was like the key to having a healthy grassland.
It is important. It is. But what's really interesting here is that these plants, they've been around for centuries, evolving and adapting to very specific conditions way before humans started actively managing things.
Oh, wow.
So think about it. These plants have dealt with nutrient-poor soil and changing moisture levels for a long time. So they're incredibly resilient.
Wow. So it's almost like the site conditions like set the stage and then managing is like the fine-tuning.
Exactly. And this has huge implications for conservation. You can't just manage your way out of bad site conditions
Oh,
if you want to protect these grasslands.
yeah.
You have to start by understanding those basic environmental factors.
Oh, okay. That makes a lot of sense. And that's a really important point for anyone who works in conservation.
Yeah.
But what about the rest of us? Like, how does this apply to someone who just loves walking through a meadow or has a garden?
Well, it makes you think about the plants you see around you in a totally new way. Have you ever noticed how certain plants seem to thrive in specific spots? Like maybe you have a patch of clover that loves a dry, sunny corner of your yard, or wildflowers that just pop up at the edge of the woods. Those plants are telling you something about the soil and the moisture in those areas.
So even just looking at the plants around you can teach you something about the environment.
Absolutely. It's
Wow.
like they're talking to you, telling you their preferences.
Okay, that's cool. Well, let's talk about grazing. The study looked at cattle, horses, and sheep. And I have to admit, I was pretty surprised to learn that grazing sheep wasn't always the best choice.
Yeah, this was a big surprise. The findings suggested that sheep grazing was actually harmful to some important plant species like Luzula campestris, Lotus corniculanus, and Tsetsisa pretensis.
Hold on. Why would sheep be bad for a grassland? I thought they were always seen as like helpful grazers.
They can be, but
It really depends on your goals
okay.
and the plants you want to see more of. Sheep are known for being picky eaters.
Oh, they like certain plants a lot
Yeah.
and might completely avoid others, which can then impact how diverse the grassland is overall.
So it's not that sheep are bad, it's just that their selective grazing
Exactly.
can have unintended consequences
Yeah.
for some of the plants.
Exactly. It highlights the importance of choosing the right grazing animal for the job. You need to consider the plants that are already there, what you want to achieve, and how different grazers might affect that balance.
Now, while sheep grazing had some downsides, this study found that horses could actually be a real benefit to certain plants.
Yeah. The study found that horse grazing was good for certain species, like Luzula campestris and Polygala species, and it didn't have any negative effects on any of the 25 indicator species that they studied in depth.
So horses are less picky eaters.
That could be part of it. They also graze at different heights and tend to create a more varied grassland structure, which can benefit more plants.
This makes me think about how even small things, like the height an animal grazes at, can have a big impact on all the different plants.
It does. And it's another reminder that managing a grassland is really complex. You have to consider all the players and how they interact with each other and the environment.
Speaking of complexity, this study used a really interesting tool called the Ellenberg N Index to measure site productivity. Can you explain what that is
Sure.
and why it's important?
The Ellenberg N Index is a way to look at which plants prefer soil with lots of nutrients. And the higher the number, the more that plant likes those rich conditions. This study found that a lot of those indicator species that tell us a grassland is healthy actually prefer soils that are less rich in nutrients.
Oh, interesting.
It might seem counterintuitive, but it goes back to what we were talking about earlier. These plants are adapted to thrive in less fertile conditions.
So the Ellenberg N index helps us understand which plants are best suited for different types of soil. And it highlights that sometimes. What we might think of as like poor soil can actually be ideal for supporting a diverse and healthy grassland.
Exactly.
Okay, that's really cool. I'm curious, how did the researchers use this information to come up with conservation recommendations?
Well, they suggested using these sensitive plant species as indicators for something called result-oriented subsidies, basically. A way to connect financial incentives to the presence of these indicator species.
Interesting.
So imagine a program where farmers or landowners get paid more for having a lot of these special plants on their land.
That's a really cool idea because it incentivizes people to manage their land in a way that benefits biodiversity.
Exactly. It's about aligning those conservation goals with economic incentives, which could be a powerful tool for protecting these ecosystems.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. So that's a really clever way to encourage people to think about the long-term health of these grasslands. It's not just about how they look. It's about protecting that whole ecosystem.
Exactly. And these ecosystems provide so many benefits. From capturing carbon to filtering water, they're really important to the bigger environmental picture.
This study focused on Swedish grasslands. But I imagine these principles apply to grasslands all over the world, right?
Absolutely. Grasslands are found on every continent, except for Antarctica. And they face similar problems, whether it's habitat loss, invasive species, or climate change. So understanding how site conditions and management work together is super important for protecting grasslands all over the globe.
I'm thinking about those grasslands I've seen out west with all the wildflowers and the grazing bison, and I wonder if similar research is being done there.
I'm sure it is, and it probably looks different in different regions,
right?
Depending on the types of plants, the animals that graze there, and the specific environmental issues. But the main idea is the same.
Okay.
We need to understand the unique parts of each grassland if we want to manage and conserve it effectively.
Before we wrap up, it's important to say that this study did have some limitations, right?
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
They focused on those indicator species. So the findings might not apply to every single plant in a Swedish grassland. And like any scientific study, we need more research to confirm and build on these findings.
But it's a great starting point for understanding grassland ecology.
Definitely. And it reminds us that there's always more to learn.
Yeah.
And that even things that seem small, like the moisture in the soil or grazing habits, can affect the whole ecosystem.
That's one of the things I love about these deep dives. It's a chance to look closely at a specific area of research and come away with new insights and questions.
Speaking of questions, this study left me wondering a few things.
Okay.
We talked about how sheep grazing can be harmful to certain grassland species, but how can we adapt grazing practices to better support those species?
That's a great question. Could something like rotational grazing be a solution where you move the sheep around so they don't overgraze any one area?
That's a possibility. Or maybe introducing patches with different types of vegetation within a grassland to cater to different grazers and their preferred plants.
So it's about creating like a more diverse landscape that can support more species.
It's about moving beyond simple solutions and taking a more nuanced and adaptive approach to how we manage grasslands.
I like that. Nuanced and adaptive. It acknowledges that there's no one-size-fits-all solution.
Right.
You have to keep observing, learning, and changing your strategies.
And that's where the citizen science can play a big role.
Okay.
Even if you aren't a scientist.
Yeah.
You can help us understand grasslands just by paying attention to the plants around you. Take note of what's growing where, how it changes, and what kinds of animals you see.
So you're saying that anyone can be a grassland observer?
Absolutely. The more people we have
looking
at these things, the better we can protect them.
Okay, listener, let's bring this back to you and your own experiences. Think about the grasslands you've seen, whether it's a park, a roadside, or even your own backyard.
What kind of plants are thriving there? What's the soil like? Is it dry? Is it wet? How might those conditions be influencing what's growing there? Have you noticed any grazing animals? Cows, horses, sheep, deer, even rabbits can all affect the plant community?
These are the kinds of questions I hope you'll think about long after this deep dive is over. Because these grasslands are more than just pretty landscapes.
Mm-hmm.
They're important ecosystems that support a whole web of life, from the smallest insects to the biggest grazing animals.
And they're connected to us in so many ways, Whether we realize it or not, they give us clean air and water, they help regulate the climate, and they're places for us to enjoy and connect with nature.
So to our listeners, I hope this deep dive has made you curious about grasslands, whether they're in your own backyard or across the world.
Maybe it's even inspired you to learn more about the plants and animals that call these ecosystems home, or to support conservation efforts in your area.
Whatever you take away, I encourage you to keep exploring, keep asking questions, and keep diving deep into the world around us. Until next time.
Happy learning. These are the kinds of questions I hope you'll think about long after this deep dive is over, because these grasslands are more than just pretty landscapes.
Yeah.
They're important ecosystems that support a whole web of life, from the smallest insects to the biggest grazing animals.
And they're connected to us in so many ways, whether we realize it or not. They give us clean air and water. They help regulate the climate. And they're places for us to enjoy and connect with nature.
So to our listeners, I hope this deep dive has made you curious about grasslands, whether they're in your own backyard or across the world.
Maybe it's even inspired you to learn more about the plants and animals that call these ecosystems home, or to support conservation efforts in your area. Whatever you take away, I encourage you to keep exploring, keep asking questions, and keep diving deep into the world around us. Until next time, happy learning. These are the kinds of questions I hope you'll think about long after this deep dive is over, because these grasslands are more than just pretty landscapes. They're important ecosystems that support a whole web of life, from the smallest insects to the biggest grazing animals.
And they're connected to us in so many ways, whether we realize it or not. They give us clean air and water. They help regulate the climate. And they're places for us to enjoy and connect with nature.
So to our listeners, I hope this deep dive has made you curious about grasslands, whether they're in your own backyard or across the world.
Maybe it's even inspired you to learn more about the plants and animals that call these ecosystems home, or to support conservation efforts in your area.
Whatever you take away, I encourage you to keep exploring, keep asking questions, and keep diving deep into the world around us. Until next time, happy learning.